Okay, thank you very much, Rob. I think I've met most of you before. If you haven't, my name's Paul Curley, one of the regional ministers, and been in this job far too long. So I'm the next one to retire. Stuart's retiring this year. I'm the next one, I expect. Anyway, good to be here. Just a couple of books, which I'm not a great reader, but a couple of books which you may want to delve into thinking about. There's many other books available about this subject this morning, which under my heading is called Fellowshipping with God as a Minister, basically. I bring the good old one out, Lectures to my Students by Spurgeon, a good old classic. I love the book, read it from time to time. And this one, which I was given by a minister when I started off in ministry, Ordering Your Private World by Gordon MacDonald. A bit of a classic, traditional, some of you may have seen that. But there we are. I just throw those out to you. The other thing is that when Rob and I had talked about these sessions some time ago, I can't remember if it was early this year, Rob, or end of last year. At that particular time, I was doing a spiritual checkup on myself. And I tend to do this, obviously, daily, but on a bigger scale, once a year. I was once part of a Word and Spirit group down in New Life in Durrington, Worthing, with Graham Jefferson. And as ministers, there's about eight of us. We used to meet every Tuesday morning from 7 in the morning through to about 10 o'clock. That's week by week, 52 weeks a year, more or less. And once a year, we did this spiritual checkup as individual ministers. And it's one of those contexts where you did it as a group, and if you lied about it, they knew, because we knew each other so well. And so if you want a copy of it, I can email you all a copy in due course. It's for any Christian, really, but we honed it down for a minister doing a sort of spiritual checkup for us as ministers. And it talks about areas such as my relationship with my church, my relationships with the world, my relationships with my co-leaders, my relationship with my family, and my relationship with my Lord. And we individually did these together as part of a group, and we shared where we were at. And the very first question on this, my relationship with my Lord, is, do I make time on a regular basis for private prayer and Bible study? Really, that's what we're going to focus in on a few moments this morning. I'm not going to speak for very long. And I do feel as though I'm teaching my grandmother to suck eggs here, because all of us know about this, about our private devotional life with the Lord, reading of scripture daily, a prayer life. We all know that. We all do that. And some of us do it really well. Others of us could do it far better. But so for this morning, for this hour, we're thinking about us as local ministers and our reading of scripture. And in fact, I say I'm going to expand that a little bit by also including prayer. In other words, our daily devotional time, our fellowship time with God, often known as quiet times, of course, personal devotions, time with God, daily devotions, morning office, and alike. That's what we're thinking on this morning. Now, of course, I'm not here to tell you what your quiet times with God should be like. You know, the way a minister does their quiet time varies from minister to minister, from season to season even. And there's no one correct way in my book anyway. And when I look back over my own quiet times over the years, I've been a Christian and a minister. They have changed constantly. Sometimes those quiet times the Lord have been great, been really on fire. And other times those quiet times have been non-existent, if I'm honest. And I confess that over 43 years as a Christian and over 36 years as a minister, I'm still a learner. I haven't got it right. So if you're looking to me for answers this morning, I haven't got it right at all. We're all learning, aren't we? However, one thing does concern me about a minister and their quiet time, their devotional time, their fellowship time with God, is that I believe that the quiet time for the minister seems less and less important these days. That's what I'm picking up over recent years. And also being involved in the SIBA MRC committee for these past 25 years. I've heard from ministers, NAMs and prospective ministers, that as far as they are concerned, their daily quiet time with the Lord is not that important. I don't know whether you experience that with other ministers or even that's for yourself. And a few totally honest ministers have said to me that they get all that they need from sermon preparation or through church worship on a Sunday morning, or just listening to podcasts or Christian music during the week. And that concerns me. And maybe I'm old-fashioned. And the older I get, the more old-fashioned I think I'm becoming. But I personally believe that a daily quiet time, a time of personal fellowship with God in the Word and in prayer, is absolutely vital. The whole purpose of a daily quiet time is vital because only through it, I believe, we can grow and mature in our relationship with God. We can get to know him better. You know, we can love him more. We can become more like him in our character and in our conduct, as well as our pastoral and preaching ministries. Now, time forbids me this morning, you'll be glad to hear that I could talk far more on this subject. But of course, having a quiet time, I'm sure we would all agree, I would hope we all agree, having a quiet time as a Christian and as a minister is a privilege. And speaking to God, listening to him, is a wonderful privilege. I would hope we would all say aloud amen to that. And also through our daily quiet time, we can get clear direction from God in our lives. We read in scripture how our Lord told us to go into our closet and close the door. You know, we all need those times when we slow down, we collect our thoughts, we evaluate what's going on in our lives and ask God for his wisdom in all these things that we're going through. As one person, I don't know who the person was, probably famous of years gone by, once said, if we do not come apart periodically, we will literally come apart. Another area we could focus in on, of course, in that our quiet times can be just a lovely place where we can delight to be in God's presence. We know a lot about the Bible. We've all been to, I guess, Bible college. We know about theology. We know what so-and-so says about this, that, and the other. But do we really know God? Really know him, I wonder. You know, if we want to get to know another human being, we need to spend quality time with them. We need to talk with them. We need to listen to them carefully and be with them in a variety of different situations. And I think likewise with God, if we want to know him and enjoy him, we need to do all those things as well. Again, as somebody probably famous once said, it's hard to have a love affair in a crowd. You need to get alone with them to do that. I wonder how anxious are we to get alone with God and share intimately with him. You know, our quiet time should be more than just getting to know about Jesus, but also to meet with him personally. And of course, we could focus in on, in our daily quiet time, becoming more like Jesus in our character and in our conduct. So having said all that, and I would love to expand on all that, why should a quiet time be a priority for a minister? Well, I believe we're not going to get to know God more fully and come to love him more deeply unless we actually talk and listen to him through his word and by his spirit. We need daily fellowship with God because I believe, firstly, we were created by God to have fellowship with him. Genesis 2, 3, that relationship, that fellowship that mankind had with God. And that ended at the fall, of course. And then Jesus Christ died on the cross to restore that fellowship with God. We know this, we preach this, you know this as well. Jesus Christ, of course, needed fellowship with his Heavenly Father throughout his ministry as well. There's many references in the Gospels that we could turn to where Jesus went apart from his disciples or went to a place by himself. He had to get alone with his Heavenly Father. And surely if Jesus had to do that, we need to do that. We know that, again, I'm sure. Again, I'm not trying to teach you how to suck eggs, but just reminding us all that we need, Jesus needs to get alongside his Heavenly Father. He had to be alone, and we need to be alone as well. Again, somebody famous, all these people, I haven't got a clue who they are, but somebody once said, if you're too busy to have a quiet time, well, then you're just too busy. Jesus Christ was never too busy to be alone with his Heavenly Father. And of course, all through Scripture, we've got Moses and David, Paul, we've got down through history, we've got Wesley, George Muller, Moody, Spurgeon, Billy Graham, and all the rest. All the great men and women of the faith down through the years have spent time, quality time, with God. And also, I believe that you and I cannot grow to be healthy Christians, let alone a healthy minister, without that daily fellowship with God. It is a vital necessity, I believe, for us as Christians and particularly as ministers. You know, if we don't physically eat, we get weak, we get tired, we eventually would die if we didn't eat or drink. And likewise with the Christian minister, unless we spiritually eat regularly, we will become spiritually weak and sick. One meal on a Sunday morning will not be sufficient. I got my calculator out and I worked out there's 168 hours in the week. None of us have time to do everything, but I believe we must make time for those things that really matter. And for me, as I shared with Rob when we first talked about this, I believe that I need to do better in this, by the way. I haven't got all the answers. I'm not there yet. I'm still learning. But we must never let anything rob us of our fellowshipping time with God, our quiet time. Whatever that is, whenever it is, whatever it looked like, should be number one priority in our lives as ministers. If we need to be feeding the flock, as it were, under our care, we need to be feeding ourselves as well. And maybe you want to share later on. I just share personally. I know as a minister, you can get by without feeding on God's word and having a relationship with him for weeks, if not months sometimes. We can go through those seasons where we just run on the emergency supplies. but that won't keep us going in the long run. And many ministers that I've known over the years have erred and strayed for a whole variety of different reasons. But one of the key things they often say to me is that I lost my relationship with God somewhere along the line. And it is, I think, a discipline to stick close with God in our quiet times. It's hard work, it's a struggle, but we need to do it. So Rob said a couple of questions I need to sort of throw out. The first question is, must we have a quiet time as ministers? Must we have it? And secondly, is it okay to get our fellowship with God in other ways and not have a daily quiet time, but do other things like just walking and listening to Christian music and podcasts and the like? Is it okay just to get our spiritual feeding from those kind of things? Or must we have a daily quiet time of some kind? And also, it's not a question, maybe we can learn from each other. You know, what works well for us in having a quiet time? Let's share what works well for us. Really an introduction, and I say it's very, you know, basic. We all know this, and it's not a guilt thing by any means. You know, if we preach a sermon on the, you know, reading of scripture and prayer, you know, we get our congregations very feeling guilty pretty quickly. And that's not what we're about this morning. It's just to say that we need to keep that quiet time number one priority. And we need to acknowledge sometimes it's not as good as it could be, unless yours is always brilliant. But let's learn from each other and make sure that we keep that the main thing in regard to quiet times. There we go.
Well, thank you, Paul, for that kind of introduction and an overview. There's a few things there for us to provoke us and prompt us and to challenge us. So thank you for that. I'm particularly caught by that idea of coming apart. And if we don't, we will literally come apart. That kind of grabs my attention as an idea. So thank you for that. What we have the opportunity to do now is to respond to those questions and prompts that Paul has given us, and to share our experience, our ideas, our practice together. So I hope that was a really helpful conversation. The last 20 minutes together, and hopefully there was some really good experience shared. I wonder whether we might hear some feedback from the rooms. Maybe we'll start with your room, Paul, and just hear if there's any kind of particular things that captured people's attention, responses that were made. Go for it.
I don't know whether Cam or Joe or Pete want to say anything.
Why didn't you start off, Paul, okay, and then they might chip in?
Before we came back in the room, we were talking about spiritual sort of directors or whatever you want to call them, and how valuable they, if you get the right one, how valuable they can be, and to keep us on the straight and narrow, whatever. But that person outside of our church context, even outside of our denominational links, as it were, can be very advantageous. And I think some of our folk in our room have done that or are considering doing that or have had them in the past at different times and have found them to be very beneficial. So that was... it helps us. It doesn't always help us in the daily quiet time, but, at least we are either fully accountable or semi-accountable, or however the relationship is with our spiritual director, to them for our own advancement in our walk with the Lord and our own discipleship.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's a really helpful idea around accountability, isn't it? If there is this thing that we know that will give us life, that will sustain us, enrich us, both as people as well as those that are ministers of the gospel, then if we know that we have this, then having some accountability to develop it and to grow it and develop it is a really helpful thing. It might be something that we don't necessarily always like or enjoy that accountability. But it perhaps will be really helpful to us enriching us in our lives.
Yep. Under the New Baptist CMD program, as it were, we are warmly encouraged. we can't be told anything, but we are warmly encouraged to find such a person or group or whatever where we can have that accountability as well as support and all the rest of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And if you haven't signed up for CMD, you can still do that. And and actually, these sessions will count towards your CMD as well. So you can log this as one of your continuing ministerial development sessions and slots. So, yeah, little plug for that. Brilliant. I don't know if there's anything else that you guys in that room wanted to feedback. To bring to us?
We just talked about how during the pandemic, in some ways, it was a bit of a gift having more time on our own, less time rushing about. We talked about thirst and longing and the need to be really thirsty for God, to come back to the one thing needful. But how quickly, for some of us, that can be drowned out as we're moving back to more activity in church, and how sometimes there are advantages to being on a team in that you've got more people to share the load, and when you're the only person, perhaps it's very easy for quiet times to get squeezed out. But I think equally being on a team has its own challenges in how much you share with people, and also you have a lot of meetings which can make it more difficult to have time with God.
Yeah. I think that's probably something that a number of us are experiencing, is, you know, as restrictions have been got rid of, and as some sense of, you know, of normality has started to emerge, then it's very easy, isn't it, to revert back to some patterns that we were perhaps in, and for diaries to get very full, for us to say yes to more and more stuff. And then the priority of our lives with God can take a second place, can't they? It's quite challenging to think on that one. We in our room picked up a little bit on that with this idea that Darren picked up on, actually, about must versus desire. One of your questions, Paul, was must we have a quiet time? Must feels like somewhat kind of legalistic, doesn't it? It can feel like, oh, I must do this. There's a kind of legalism around that. But desire is something that is much more palatable, perhaps much more appealing towards us. And so we thought a little bit about desire and about nurturing that desire within to grow our life with the Lord. And and when we kind of moved into the desire for a habit can be useful. So if we desire a habit of a daily quiet time or the daily office or those kind of things, then that can be a really useful thing as well. We were thinking a little bit about you know, if you're fasting, that experience of fasting where you know, get to kind of maybe mid-afternoon, I don't know, this is true for me anyway when I'm fasting, you get to mid-afternoon and you're like, I'm really hungry now. I really want something now to eat. And I've kind of got to the point, I guess, in life when if I don't have don't do my daily office, then I kind of feel hungry. and that can almost feel physical in nature. And that's probably, you know, part of, you know, the fact that God made us to be both physical and spiritual beings. So, but there can be almost a physical need for this thing. And you're kind of recognize, oh, I've missed something today. I've missed something that really feeds me and nourishes me as well. So, I'm really grateful for early on in ministry, somebody really challenged me and held me accountable to kind of a daily time in God's word and in prayer. And I now know the kind of missing bit if I don't do it as well. So we talked a little bit about that. It was helpful. We talked a bit about the kind of, is it okay to do it in other ways as well? And talked about music and worship and how that can be something that is helpful, but actually that it does need to be an intention about it as well. That actually, right, just listening to a music, that might be helpful, but actually, okay, are we looking for God's word in that, and then taking that and actually exploring that within the scriptures? So where is the songwriter drawn from the scriptures, and then how can I kind of then dig into that myself? So there's an intentionality about not just listening to the music, but actually using it to grow in our life together. Are we seeing a decline as well? We touched on that. And the three other people in the room are all ministers in training, and said that, you know, perhaps you'd expect there to be a hunger amongst those who are ministers in training. I think for myself, as somebody that's perhaps been in ministry quite a lot longer, it's difficult to admit it, isn't it? You know, it's difficult to admit that we've lost it. You know, you kind of, you know, when you're with other ministers, you have to kind of, you know, there is a pressure perhaps to save face and say, oh, no, it's all, you know, yeah, I do that and that kind of stuff. But is there a decline? I don't know. There has been a rediscovery of the historical spiritual disciplines, of which reading scripture and prayer are, you know, really central parts of that, aren't they? And I think that's been a good thing and something to be encouraged as well. So, yeah, Liz, we'll come to you. I don't know if your internet's going to allow us to hear from you, but we'll do our best. Is there anything that you want to share?
Really good discussion.
Liz, the connection's not strong enough for us to be able to hear.
I think you can hear me now. In this format,
I think we need the interpretation on that one.
That was quite nice to do. But a lot of the things that you've mentioned, we talked about. One thing that was quite key was
I'm just going to type to Liz that it's not working.
You know, we can make space.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's not worked. But I think maybe we picked up a little bit of a gist that there was some resonance there with the things that have been shared already. So that's really good.
Okay, don't worry. Okay.
But thanks, Liz, for trying. But we picked up a little bit there from, you know, in terms of that, you know, there was some resonance with what other people had said as well. So that's really good. I don't know if anybody's got any kind of questions or wisdom that they want to just share before we close off today. Anything we want to wants to share to help us to wrap up?
Just one thing I found really helpful and doable is praying the Psalms in a month, trying to cover just 5 Psalms in a day. And there might just be one particular verse even that really calls out to me, and I will just stay with that verse. But that's been a doable discipline for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's and there are resources that we can draw upon to help us to do that as well. There are various books. There's the series of books by a guy called David Adam, who can help to pray the Psalms as well. So there's lots of resources out there that are made available for us to grow in our spiritual lives. So yeah, for me personally, I find reading really nourishing in terms of my spiritual life. It provokes me, it kind of challenges me. I would really encourage that. And I would really encourage the reading of the kind of the historical greats as well. When I was at Spurgeon's, I remember John Colwell saying to me that he reads through John Calvin's Institutes every year, and I kind of thought, oh no, I'm never going to be able to do that. But I have got the Calvin's Institutes, and actually they're immensely spiritual in nature, and so I do dip into those now and again, as well as John Bunyan is another one that can be really helpful in terms of the spiritual life. And so the works of John Bunyan I can really recommend. I know that they sometimes, it does take discipline and hard work to actually get into them, but I would really encourage those I really encourage that hard work, actually, to get into that stuff. Brilliant.
Shall I close with a quote from lectures to my students?
Go for it.
I need to apologise now. It's Spurgeon writing all those years ago, and he talks about the man, but we understand that, don't we? In chapter 3, he talks about the preacher's private prayer, and he says, I take it that as a minister, he is always praying. And he goes on to say, if there be any man under heaven who is compelled to carry out the precept, pray without ceasing, surely it is the Christian minister. He has particular temptations, special trials, singular difficulties, and remarkable duties. He has to deal with God in awful relationships and with men in mysterious interests. He therefore needs much more grace than common men. And as he knows this, he is led constantly to cry to the strong for strength and say, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Mm. Take it as you wish, but old-fashioned wording, but we understand what he's saying.
Yeah.
Pray constantly.